Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello, and welcome back to Love to You All. I am Catherine Galligan, your host. And today I am sharing a conversation that I had with somebody that I consider really special. Her name is Jane Civet, and you might remember her from the TV show Friends. And I certainly do. That came out when I was in college. I was 20 years old at the time. And when I first heard her voice on the screen, it left an impression on me that I really couldn't explain at the time. And so I had no idea. Fast forward, you know, over 20 years later, that I was actually going to meet this person. Okay. And of course, like her voice, it just touched my heart in a way. And I didn't realize how she was going to continue to keep touching my heart in bigger and more important ways for me. And so I won't give it all away. But I just want to say that she's been such a powerful presence in my life in terms of my heart opening up and my own personal healing, me being able just to trust and see the best in people without judgment. I give Jane a lot of credit for that because it was, you know, the work that she did kind of like on me or with me via these quantum healing circles that she still hosts today, even though she's an actress and she's just very much in demand. She has a lot going on, particularly a new project that's sort of the revival of a really powerful project that she used to do years ago, and it's called Noon Miracles. And so we talk about all of it in this episode, and she's just somebody that I love very much, and I think you'll be able to hear that actually when we're just speaking to one another. So anyway, Jane Civet, I totally blame her for opening my heart, but I say that jokingly because it's been a really good thing. She's a lovely human. I really wish everybody could meet her. And in your own way, you can, because she's created these projects that make her more accessible. So anyway, thank you as usual for joining my show and having a listen. I know your time is really precious. And with, you know, the more that we listen to these things, the more it puts us in a really beautiful vibration of love. And we can just keep spreading that and peace around this beautiful world we live in. Hello, Jane Civet. Welcome to Love to You All.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me, Catherine. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. The honor is mine. I want to share you the whole world. I want to share you with the whole world. Okay. And so that's, you know, I already know you have a global presence, and but this is my attempt. So in my, you know, my vain efforts to shoot for world peace in my lifetime, and I'm trying to, to enroll.
Humanity, or would that just be humanity?
You know, that's a good question. It's a lofty goal. I feel like it's a lofty goal. And some people will tell me, just strive for it and don't be attached to the outcome. That's like the common answer that I've been getting. And so what do you... Well, I can see the look on your face. Tell me what you think about this.
I have no judgment against those who are expressing judgment against your opinions and your life goal.
That well is put.
A worthwhile life goal. I only want to celebrate that. What a magnificent life goal. Truly. Oh.
So well, thank you.
For those who are saying don't be attached, you never want to be attached to the outcome. But if you really are living it every day, you can't help but be on that sled for it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to believe that it's possible. Otherwise, I'm not going to keep going. You know how people, manifestation is a big thing. And so when I hear about manifestation in my world, it's people manifesting a really good cup of coffee or, you know, that dream job or the dream date or an awesome house or something like that, you know? But so if we can manifest that and people have like proven success with that, amazing. Why don't we put our efforts towards manifesting world peace? So that's how I feel about the whole thing. If we're going to manifest something, what if we all did that? That would be amazing. And then therefore possible.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, long ago when I first started the Dancing Hands work, and we can talk about that in a moment too, but long ago I would say, if you don't have an intention about how you want to live, why don't you just completely go for it and say, I intend bliss? Because that has a whole lot of loveliness inside of it, right? Bliss
yes.
for me would be peace. It would be everyone's fed. It would be mm-hmm. that everyone's feeling loving or feeling loved, or maybe both.
Yeah.
So why not?
And safe.
And safe, all the things.
So all the things.
I intend bliss for you, and I'm gonna cheer you on.
Well, thank you. I had a feeling that you would be supportive and that you might even, like our ships might be sailing in the same direction, you know?
Right. Intending simply for, you know, a Maserati or something like that, I'm like, don't be too attached to that outcome. Because it's material.
Right.
But if you're intending something that's benefit for best and highest good of one and all.
Yeah.
Go for it. And we all should aspire to be so lovely and magnanimous with our intentions. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Okay. So you mentioned dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know this about you because we figured out how long we've known each other now.
Did
Do you remember this? Like, yeah, we now know it's something around 7 or 8 years because
Natural.
We met. Yes. Yeah. So for quite a while, I've been in your orbit.
Yeah.
And it started with the dancing. And so tell us what that is and what you do and why it matters.
That's a long conversation if we go this way. I am so grateful that you even are interested in this, and thank you. And I, you know, the things that have happened to me since this gift has arisen in my life, I never would have believed if it hadn't happened to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I'm having a long and beautiful career, and it's not over yet as an actress. I've been able to see and meet people all the time. And so one of the byproducts of my platform, I guess I would say, where my visibility is that someone asked me when I moved to Hawaii if I would produce of a documentary on a healer doesn't call himself a healer. And so that led me to producing events, not only for this man and documentaries, but for others. And one of those was Abdi Electricite, and he tapped me on my forehead the first time. It wasn't the first time I met him, but the first time we did an event. And when I came up from this state of bliss, again, here's my word bliss. When I came up with that, I couldn't attach myself to anything. I was quite out of my body for a couple of hours and came back and my hands were dancing on the other side of this. So he coined the term dancing hands because there was nothing like it. We were just watching my hands dance around. And those that were around seemed to see or feel energy coming off of them that for them was so beautiful or felt so lovely inside, peaceful, or just brought them into a state of oneness. And so from that, we discovered that the hands, as they danced, would open a field of energy that where people, well, there was all sorts of possibility, where people could connect to their higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it almost immediately as my hands were dancing that I needed to wrap this in intention because I come from a really conservative Christian background.
Yes, I know that's about you. Same here, actually. Yeah. So this would, you know, would be considered woo-woo.
It was way woo-woo. It was
it's real woo-woo.
And it wasn't anything that I'd ever aspired to either. It was anything that I'd hoped for, prayed for. Like, no, I don't want to be a weirdo. That's like way woo. But there it was. And because it felt and brought such bliss to me and nearly immediately started to help people with all sorts of physical or emotional or professional, even relationship situations, in every single arena that you could possibly think of, where people would ask if I could support them, if my hands would dance, they would feel better. And then soon we discovered my body was dancing with it, that the source energy would just start dancing my body. So, and then, you know, more things started to happen. It was coming through my voice, or it was coming through my eyes. It was basically every modality that you could think of started to be activated through this gift, or the opening of the gift. And it wasn't like I prepared for it. I didn't have to breathe myself into a state of oneness, or, you know, mm-hmm. The breath is so great. But, and sometimes I will do breath. It's interesting. You know, I must say, in the beginning, I didn't realize this until somebody else pointed out to me, but suddenly I'm going to different acupuncture points on a body, and I would start tapping, and I wasn't trained with any of that, or perhaps right. I would hold in a position that someone would consider Reiki, that people would ask me, is this Reiki? I'm like, I don't even know what Reiki is. Is that something that's good? I mean, I would literally ask. I didn't know. Or there would be, you know, what quote unquote, what people would call psychic surgeries. People were starting to call me like the Jane of God, you know, like John of God. She obviously turned into something that was a little more complicated. But because I was in a place where I was suddenly doing what they would call psychic surgery, where I could feel my hands going inside of a body, and I could see the inside of the body, I could see parasites inside the body and clear that out. And I'd never had that kind of experience in my life. So whatever was coming through me mm-hmm. was the best that was available from the other realm.
Okay.
So that's why I suddenly feel as if it's source energy coming through for the best and highest good, only best and highest good, everything else we send to the light. Mm-hmm. But that there's a higher intelligence that seems to be coming through. So that was a lot. That's not the skinny version. That's not the one line of what I do, because it's always evolving.
Well, but there's no way to deduce it down to one line. Do you think so? I mean, yeah. And like you were saying, how I hadn't heard you put it that way before. Like, it started with your hands, but really it did become like your whole body and mind is this instrument of source, if you will. And I guess it had to come to you in stages.
Yes.
You know, and evolve for you.
Yeah. And mostly interestingly, I mean, because Jane's always aware. It's not like I'm a closed channel. I don't, you know, pop out and out of a trance or whatever.
When people right. Yeah.
I have awareness of things that are going on. And while I'm in it, there's not judgment, mm-hmm. you know, but you may have heard me say in the beginning, and it's still pretty tamped down. In the beginning, I wasn't even able to read any anatomy books because I was like, oh, yay, I can study I love the body. I think that would be fascinating for me to learn, you know, and I would open, and that's why I went and bought piles of anatomy books, because I mm-hmm. thought it was really good for me to be able to eloquently speak to what I saw, what was going on, or what even the organs I was working on. And they would go white. I would open these up and they would just go blank. Or I'd look at the words, and even, you know, I love the medical medium in my heart. When I open up Anthony Williams' books,
yes,
but I continue to recommend his work. So it's the way that what I finally eventually heard was, you couldn't possibly study enough in this, the amount of lifetime you have, to be able to get to the level that is coming through you. So maybe it's better that you not second guess and just go along for the ride. And it's not like, that maybe sounds a little bit bad. It sounds like I'm giving myself over to and over something.
No, it sounds like you get to bypass an unnecessary step. Yeah. And just, yeah. It almost sounds like you get to be instead of do. That's what it
is being, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because we as humans, and I certainly, you and I have that in common with our, you know, Christian background, where it was, you couldn't possibly ever be good enough to be able to deserve the love that's coming through. You know, it's,
you know, right.
Humble. I was always hearing, humble yourself. I was like, oh, my hair looks pretty today. Like, humble yourself. It was like, tamp down. Don't even think about trying to raise. I mean, my parents were lovely and loving, but it was what came through the way that they were taught.
So, yeah. I know. Yeah, same. You know, I do want to acknowledge what you said just a second ago about how you do all this without judgment. And I think that's what is so powerful about what you do, these dances. And so, you know, just so I can describe it to the audience who's never experienced this before, and I've experienced it in a group setting, right? And so you get us in a circle and you visit every single person in a circle and you spend time. And, you know, if somebody didn't know any better, it would just look like you were dancing, you know, I mean, like really free. And then speaking jibber jabber. That's what it is. Right. And like flitting about and like your hands are going like crazy, but it's undeniable that when you're right in front of, you know, one person, that you're so present with them. It's so intentional for them. And it's so pure. It's not a show. It's not, do you know what I mean? Like, it's so, and it, like, all you feel is love. And I think, like, I've watched other people when they're on the receiving end and you're in front of them. Some people can't handle it, like, because it's intense. I mean, they don't understand how to be loved. Like, maybe they have that similar upbringing where you earned your love, you know? Right, you had to be deserving of it to get it, kind of thing. And so, like, here's this stranger giving it in such a beautiful, expressive way and an unbridled way. Mm-hmm. And so that's my experience anyway.
And as far as I know, no one's ever felt like it's too, maybe someone has felt too weird. They certainly haven't said it aloud. You know, I at the time when I was really starting to get out there, I had a boyfriend who would use the word wackadoodle. And I thought that was a really light way to handle it, because he also came from a super Christian background. But he's like, no, this is of God. This is real. You know, he had his own thing with Lyme disease. He was so sick when I met him. And then, you know, within 3 weeks time, he was running a 5-minute mile. So he, you know, going from like not being able to walk to that kind of situation. So when you have people that have come from a really super traditional and probably for him judgmental background.
Yeah.
To suddenly go, I know that this couldn't happen unless it was for good.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's a really remarkable story. Very nice.
Okay. Yeah, it's been an interesting ride, and it's been really interesting in the context of what the world is going through right now to try to even review it right now, because I tend to stay mostly in the present. So it's interesting to have this conversation with you to even go backwards at all.
To go back in time, yeah.
It's important because it does show me how far we've come and how much more we all can do if we just drop into that place, that more trusting place in our heart that we are purposefully here. We are purposefully aligned. And there's no mistake, even for those who come to do work with you or people that come and see this, it's absolutely aligned that we're all meant to be here at this particular point in time, whether it's in the future or tomorrow, today, yesterday. I guess tomorrow's a good future, isn't it?
When I look back at my life, you know, and I can kind of connect dots, which would have never made sense, you know, when, like, way back then. And I know we've talked about this before, so at the risk of sounding redundant, when I was in college is when the TV show Friends came out. So I was like the prime audience for this show. And you, for some reason, were like the character I was fascinated with. And it was your voice. There was something about your voice. And so it's so crazy to me, like, when I think about how, you know, and I always kind of remembered you, you know, I would, you know, like, you're somewhere in the recesses of my mind, right? And then fast forward to I meet a friend who's like, oh, I know this woman, you need to meet her. She's amazing. She does this thing called quantum circles. And I didn't know what that was at the time. And I'm talking about Jamie, you know, Jamie. Yeah. And so she's the one who, like, she brought you into my orbit. And then I met you, and then you were offering this trip to Tonga to swim with the humpback whales, which, as you know, I did. And so I did this with you. But, like, the way that I was even introduced to Jamie, like, all of that had to happen for me to be sitting here right now. Like, for me to have the boyfriend in college be, oh, there's the show, I think you'll really like it. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to watch Seinfeld. And he's like, no, you're going to love this, I promise. And, you know, like, that's how it all started. And, like, I can really see where, like, some, like, source was orchestrating all of that. So I would be, like, kind of taken with you and then be willing to travel to the farthest place I've ever been. Actually, that's like the farthest corner of the world I've ever been, to Tonga.
And it's a teeny, teeny, tiny little place.
It really is. It's like a smattering. It's not even, it's like barely on the map. If you like try to Google it, you know.
It's so hard to find on the map, right?
Yes.
On the islands of Hawaii. It's an amazing, amazing place. What a magical time. And that, again, when you said you wanted to join, I had such awe because I felt it was so brave because you were just going to come on your own. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
Another friend from Texas, but what a great show of you really listening to, you know, to your inner wisdom.
I must have been, because there were a lot of 3D type of reasons for me not to go on that trip, do you know? And I'm just like, that first, no, I'm going. I'm going, and I'm going to make this happen. And I asked a psychic, should I go on this? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, I mean, she was like, it doesn't matter what you do, you know, but the energy is supportive of you going. And I just knew that there was something for me. And there was.
Yeah. And I it's easy for us to go down that path really quickly, but one of the reasons why I thought you were so brave is because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, at that point, even though you had danced with me in circle, you really hadn't. You were taken by the love experience, but you didn't necessarily feel anything. Is that it?
Right. And so yeah,
which I think is important for people to know that not everybody feels anything, but then something pretty cool can happen down the line, yeah. Right?
Yes, yeah. I have friends that are, I'll put them in the woo-woo category.
Yeah.
Okay. And they would talk about energy all the time and how they just got the chills, or they feel that all over their body, or they can feel it in their gallbladder, or, you know, they're just like super in tune with energy, and they can like feel the energy in the room. And I was not, I mean, I almost think like I was walking around this planet like a floating head. Dealing completely disconnected from my body and not open to any type of Claire type gifts. Okay. Yeah. But I do think it was like the way you looked at me in the eye, and you explained to me later, like not at the time, but later, like that you were just reflecting to me how loved I am or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just like, oh my goodness, you know, like what is this? And I realized kind of like, that is what this whole crazy thing called life is.
Yeah.
Like people, if they even just felt that once and had the conscious awareness of what they were feeling once, that would be a game changer. It would be a game changer for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I didn't know what I was getting into. And as far as the spiritual world goes and spiritual gifts, I was like a freshman in college, or like wet behind the ears, you know, totally naive, dumb, green, however you want to put it, like did not know what I was stepping into at all. And basically what I stepped into was an enormous portal into opening my own heart. And I would like to blame you for that, Jane, because kind of like your gift, like it, there's a responsibility to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the more my heart opens, the more responsible I am for, I don't know, loving people and myself, darn it. And it's not, sometimes that's hard.
Yeah, especially when it's not something that's really been ingrained in us, but it's actually been quite the opposite, right?
Right, right.
So it can take a lot of tenacity, a lot of commitment. Yeah, I've been calling it mostly like my Qantas circles that I do. The ones that are online, I say that you all are spiritual athletes for showing up and doing the work. There's homework. You know, there's homework. Thank goodness there's homework. I do better with homework. But sources pretty, with the people that I work with on a consistent basis, the ones that I pop around, so there's always plenty to give. It really is a Christmas that just keeps on gifting and gifting and gifting. But the ones that are doing the online work are like they go and journal, and they come back and they report, and they're recording their dreams, and they're going into some really deep and amazing places, and everybody, all their gifts are just popping wide open. And, you know, having yourself in a safe space where you can do that And of course, fears, because you have to face some of those things that have held you back.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly it's not just women, but we as women have had this situation in our lives for a long time where maybe we should be on the forefront of some of this, you know, world building, peacemaking situation.
Yeah.
She needed to do so, but we filled it up. And then, you know, what is our deeper purpose as you're doing, which I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I love seeing you touring around and taking your groups everywhere. I love this so much. It just makes me so happy that you're going for it.
Thank you. That's a really huge compliment from you. Coming from you. So thank you.
I mean it in such a way. I just know that you're doing it right. And right. What is that right? Which, you know, listening to your heart, really listening and really being thoughtful and heartful about creating the container for other, and you're mostly working with women, but other people to work, right?
Yes. I would say I'm a champion for women. Mm-hmm. It's nothing against men, but I would say that for you too. I mean, I think you're very equal opportunity, but I see so much work that you do for women and consider you a champion for women. Can you speak to that actually?
Yeah. You know, I had a years ago when my daughter was just 2 weeks old, my friend said, I'm going to come out to LA, you know, in a week, and can you have a circle for, I got a circle. I'm like, what's that? And she said, well, everyone dresses up like the goddess that they wish they could be or the one they identify with. And then we share wisdom. I'm like, well, that sounds like fun. So I started to do research. And then we had 50 women showing up in Hollywood Hills outside of my house with my, you know, 3-week-old baby on my breast. And we,
we
started sharing our wisdom, our story. And we made a container and had poetry at the beginning and at the end. And it was so transformational. So many women, obviously you got actresses coming, they're going to commit to their characters, right? So
sure. It
was super fun. But more than that, everyone there was given permission to actually speak from their hearts, not just a script.
Yes.
And that was huge. And those circles went on for, you know, 30 years. And one of the women from those times is continuing on with her work and doing really, really cool work, same kind of circling in person and online too. But that's where it all started for me. And I noticed that, and I have had the most loving, wonderful husband who has really loved to come into the circles when he was invited. But we definitely found when the man showed up, it changed the dynamic of the women. And it wasn't that we were like shirking or, you know, clamping down so much or letting him talk over. And it wasn't that. It was just the vibration was a different kind of wisdom. It was really, we were tapping into something very ancient, very sacred, and really important, because we have a different kind of vibration that runs through our body. Even if we don't deliver children, we still birth new ways and in a way that the men can't quite tap into unless they're a seahorse or something like that, right?
A seahorse. I know, this is special. I love the seahorse for that very reason. Carries the babies.
Oh, seahorse.
Yes. All right, seahorse, you're invited, but the rest of you guys.
Yeah. Only seahorses are invited. Anyway, it's been really great, hasn't it? Because, you know, we have a shorthand.
Yeah. And so do you still find that like, because I hear a lot about having this, you know, this balance between the divine feminine and I don't know, the masculine, and having at least one representation of a masculine, like to be that anchor. And it's like, well, do we?
Do we?
I don't know.
I actually, in my quanta circles, I always have at least one man, but I don't plan that. They just show up.
It just happens that way. Yeah. And so tell me how much of your time, and so like in this season of your life, so there was a season where it was pretty straight up all acting, Hollywood, and that was your day to day.
Yes.
And then, you know, so the goddess circle, maybe that sort of sparked your interest and
so that began that, you know, like as I said, Ruby was over 2 years old when I first heard about it. Yeah.
Jane.
She's 32. So I know. My baby's 32.
32.
I know.
How is this possible?
Oh, it's very, very possible.
You look 32.
No. But thank you for being so very kind. And I've earned every wrinkle and have had a more that I can share. I'm getting the gray hairs are coming in hard now.
It is what it is. I know. It's mean, but it does happen.
It's life. I don't mind. It's fine. It's the other people that have trouble with it.
This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge.
Here I am. And that definitely was a season. And I worked very, very hard when I was an actress. I sometimes would be doing two jobs at once where I would work 7 days a week. And, you know, I'd be shooting a movie and shooting a series at the same time. And that's what it was. And my children were, breastfed them all until they were 1.5, 2, and 3. So, you know, it was a lot of breastfeeding on the sets.
Yeah.
Kids and the family around. And I just kind of, that's what I did because somehow I knew in my body, like, I know how this business can go. Let's just go and have fun. Let's see how long this lasts.
Yeah.
At some point, there was a big decision and a big inner tapping for the next phase, which was going to Hawaii. And that was the deepening of the spiritual part. And all that time, all the way until we moved to Hawaii, we were doing the women's circles like clockwork for all the changes of the season. Every solstice, every baby blessing way. When people passed away, we would do it for weddings. We would do a blessing way. Every significant event, we would have these events with the smallest circles, I think, were like 12 people and the biggest were 100. Because we had place to do this on our farm.
Yeah, that is so beautiful.
Yeah, I was so blessed. And then we went to Hawaii, we just went into a new rhythm there. And that's when different spiritual gifts happened and I was producing more and began traveling all over. And I had a psychic friend who was saying, oh, you're going to be wearing a lot of gold and wearing only white and traveling over the ocean so many times. So many of them like, okay, I don't like the color white. I don't like to wear gold. I'm a platinum girl. And the ocean thing, that sounds great a lot of times. And that was before we even moved to Hawaii. So she had seen all the stuff happening. And yes, I had to wear white when I was producing for a certain person. Yes, I still feel the vibration of wearing white now when I do my circles online where I need to kind of be in that space. But there's so many ways that we can get premonitions or we can talk to our friends who have these great ideas. But until you're actually living them, you don't realize like, wow,
this is really happening.
And yes, the new phase now, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm back on the mainland, back into this world of just finished, you know, intense hospice with my mother and her passing and going still in the grief period and sorting through the stuff period. But now we're in the new world period where I'm at a new bridge. And now what do we do?
Tell me, what do we do? What are you doing?
What do we do in this world? Well, I'm still doing the online circles for sure. Yes. In the last few years, even right before COVID, I heard really clearly, like the year before COVID, I heard very clearly, travel as much as you can, as and to listen to all those places that are calling you right now, because you won't be able to do it soon. And then boom, pandemic hit.
Okay. Wow.
I pushed as far into the pandemic as I could. I think that last place that I visited pre-pandemic was Texas. And I just come up you know, and probably was exposed to a lot of sick people at that point. And so, and then on the other side of what we call a pandemic, and I say that like that because I know it still is kind of bouncing around in the world. You know, I know people are still having all sorts
still
of things.
Dealing with it. Yeah.
They're dealing with it. I've not been traveling as much. And certainly since, can't even remember that, you know, normally I would be traveling every other month.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot and it was fun and wonderful. And I miss seeing everybody. I miss coming to Texas.
I know. I'm so glad Texas is like one of your pit stops.
it's one of my favorite places. So many great people. And just last night, Alyssa was asking me, when are you coming back? We want you back. But I'm not sure. I still am
okay.
Not. So here we are in New World where, and you know, whenever this plays, I'm not exactly sure where I'll be because I'm tapping into the listening and but if ever there was a time for me to fight the listening, it would be right now because it requires a huge effort because I might have to move.
You might have to move.
Yeah.
Well, this is okay. And this is sort of what I mean about responsibility, but let's come back to that because I want you to explain it more. But this, first of all, I'm glad that you were an actress because to me, and especially like it's memorialized, right? And so like every now and again, something that you were in from a while ago, it's going to air somewhere, right? And someone's going to see you and then look you up and then realize, oh my gosh, it's actually this little beauty on screen is like this spiritual kind of guru, if you will, like who flits about the world and spreads all of this love. And so you're still reaching people. You're just finding new mediums to reach people. And so like, you know, when it's in person and you're dancing in front of them, or you're traveling, you know, you're attracting groups wherever, Scotland, Tonga, Peru, Texas, wherever, all the places that you go, like that's how far you're casting this beautiful net. And anywhere you go is going to be so lucky to have you.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you. It is an interesting thing to think about that. I don't know if you remember this story. So forgive me if I'm repeating myself also.
I love hearing it.
For your audience also, right after this all happened, there were a lot of people in that realm of, you know, of Abby's world asking him, and he told me this too, like, why you? Why did you get this gift?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I think it's kind of crazy too. You know, me of all people, I'm an actress. Why would people trust an actress to be giving a gift? I mean, that's what we do. To pretend. And I'm having questions like, are you sure? You know, as I'm looking out to the source, like, really me? You know, I didn't ask for this. And my friend Manita, I said, you know, why don't you ask? I'm like, oh, that's right. I can ask. Yeah.
I didn't know it was allowed.
I didn't think it was allowed. It wasn't even that I even considered it. I more thought it was maybe rude. I have a funny quirk, and I'm not sure where it came from, maybe Hollywood world, where I never like to ask anybody what they do, and which is really weird. And I don't know where it came from. I'm really not sure. Maybe it was because I didn't want anyone to feel bad if they were an actress and they had to say they were a waitress. I don't know what happened, but it was like this thing that was kind of a rut in me. So what do you do, source? or what do I do, source? Because that's my own rut, right? Asking.
Yeah.
But I finally did ask, why me? And the knowing that came through was, because you're an actress and you've always given yourself over to the story, you've always given yourself over to the greater good of the entire production or whatever it is. So if you're dancing with someone, your body is used to, like, you know, being a tool for the best thing that could possibly happen, you know, and if it's a play, the best thing that could possibly happen is that people understand and are in your world. The best thing that could possibly happen if I reach you with your heart is that you remember the perfection that you are and the beauty that you are, the love that you are. That is what Source always wants. Source wants us to know how much we are loved, just as you were saying before. So yeah, that's why you give yourself over. You'll do the wacky dance to the little girl.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, it's like not a stretch at all. Yeah. It actually was like training in a way so that you'd be ready for this.
Right. And it's I want to make sure that people understand how humble I am by this situation, because I am so shy as a person. I've always been a stuttering, you know, blushing runaway if the teacher asked me a question in class, like, yeah, cry because people would laugh at me so much. That's the core of who I am. But when I found that the acting thing, I didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Sort of, oh, there you go. See, it's just that same thing. So if I were to think about going and dancing in front of a room of strangers, when I'm not a trained dancer, I'm not a professional dancer, but just allow my body to move in the ways that are sick. It's basically what I'm doing out there. And we're becoming more and more of this is, it's a sacred geometry equation that I'm putting forward for everybody so that we're all in this beautiful web together for the best and highest good of one and all, individually and collectively. So, you know, you've heard me say, if I'm across the room, I might be working on someone's neck and it's, you know, but the person across the room feels the pain in the neck, sister-in-law, you know, that they need to repair their relationship with, right?
Yes, yes.
There are so many metaphors that come through. Nothing, you know, it's taught in the way that, taught isn't right. It's taught to me in the way that whatever way that each person needs to learn it, it's presented. So for some, it's auditory. Sometimes it's this big ole that comes out, which is that Hawaiian prayer vibration, or what people would call, you know, the horns of Jericho that would cause the walls to come crumbling down so that we could get to the truth and the love of who we are rather than all of this debris that we've put in the way of us being connected to Source energy. Sometimes it's the loudness, or sometimes it's the clapping and the patterns of the claps that kind of shake us out of our sleeping.
Yeah.
So let me talk about sleepwalking for a second, because I know
sleepwalking. Yes.
I think about how many people are sleepwalking or have been sleepwalking for so long and had how this, you know, just to go into the political realm just for a second about how this, like, oh, you're woke, as if it's derogatory, but Source really does want us to be awake. Source really does. And so don't you try to tease me for being awake and connected to Source energy. This is why we're here. We're here to be peaceful. We're here to be beautiful. We're here to be loving. We're here to be, you know, collaborative and compassionate. These are the, you know, Source attributes for living a joyous life. The other stuff, this derogatory stuff, that's broken. And it's funny how they try to, you know, this flipping of the script. So I find it humorous if it wasn't so dangerous to keep us from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. So here we are in this beautiful, rich world, and we have so much possibility. So I can't be more excited about the ways that you are out there with people and sharing the love, right?
Yeah, and yeah.
We can all be out there sharing the love despite what the world's showing.
I'm glad you feel that way. It sounds like you're not somebody who's lost hope. Because if you talk to the wrong person and they've lost just faith in humanity, faith in the systems.
I mean, yeah, there's
hopeless and powerless.
Right, yeah. Right. I know there's a lot of people that are in hopelessness and despair.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm connected to Source, there, I always have hope.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know why I keep saying Source, that's just a way for me to say God or Goddess or, you know, whatever it is, belief system, you know, Source energy, creator, all that is. Yeah, no, I am, that's such an interesting phrase, isn't it? It's the balance. Yeah, no, it's yin-yang.
Yeah, yeah.
I have hope. do I get myself into a spin when I watch the news? Yes. There's a lot of really, really skanky laundry coming out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, you know, and with this gift, don't think it's all merry sunshine. I see the stuff. I can see, always see the perfection in any soul. I always know there's always that thread of love in that in each and every person. But what they do, it's not that we're not corruptible. We're all corruptible.
Mm-hmm.
Like our files can be corrupted. It's just how we keep ourselves clean, how we take out our garbage, how we clean our house, our windowsills, or whatever it is. We have got to, this is again back to that spiritual athleticism that I was talking about earlier, how we have to do the work. We really have to do the work, because if you're just going to wait for the angels to come and do it, we'll be here. But if you're not hooking in,
it's
like the ropes, right? You know, I sent you the boat.
No. Right. No. Yes. Yeah. I love that story.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I created this podcast to actually give people hope. But good. The real message is world peace starts with you.
Right.
I mean, it starts with us as individuals. And right. Really, we don't have to say, I don't have to save anyone. I don't have to enlighten anyone. I don't have to do any. I just have to work on me. And if I do that, I mean, can I be a source of light or inspiration for someone? Sure. You know, are you that for a lot of people? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if we're going to pull this thing off, it's because each one of us has been willing to do our own work.
Has to do our work. You know, you had said something earlier about being an advocate too. And so, yes, we have to hold these vibrations of peace. And I really do look at my other friends that are out there doing the work, whether it's circle work or just basic doctoring, medical work, you know, or yoga. How do we hold it? Like, yeah, you can go. We used to have a friend who, I'm sorry, I'm jumping for just a second, but who was an acupuncturist, and we used to call her Angry Needles because she was always so furious that I never wanted to have the needles in me. I was like, even my parents were like,
I don't want that.
What's Angry Needles? She was always so grumpy. You know, like, ooh, that's not going to work for me at all. So I totally get the, I want to stay in the frame of my love and my peace, and this is the most important thing. And as a mother, I have a responsibility to make sure that I'm letting people know, like, that behavior cannot happen in my household.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? I'm not God. I'm not the boss of you. But if someone is acting out of integrity, if someone is stealing from me, I will call it out. I'm not just going to sit there and lay back. So here's, it's an interesting thing. And how do we call it out? You know, you have to, lines in the sand. How do we do that? And this is Jane. This is Jane talking, not source talking.
Okay.
How I live in my body, knowing that I have access 24/7 to this love vibration and to the all good and to the joyous bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And I also live in this world.
Mm-hmm.
How do we maintain my garden? And how do I help my neighbors maintain theirs? Like my next door neighbor, you know, she's lost her husband. There's some things that she can't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can pray away. She's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. She doesn't really need food at Thanksgiving time. It's really okay. Or I can bring her a meal, you know, and I can say, hey, can I clean your gutters for you? Because I can see, you know, they're dripping off the wrong place. What can I do for you? The same thing goes all the way out politically. It's like, okay, that's some garbage there that needs to be put out. That's person, that little boy that's kicking everybody in the corner in the classroom while my child's in there trying to learn, that can't happen. That person, they need to have some therapy, and they and we need to make sure that our classrooms are safe for, you know, my children and your children. So when there's bad behavior that's like, it's like the parents in the corner, like, go ahead, kick them, just be you. You know, that's not going to work for a civilization, right?
Right,
so
right.
Where do you go in that world? I mean, I think we all have to ask that question. Where do we go? How far do we? It's not like I'm wanting to be Karen of the world. I don't want that. I really want us all to be taking care of one another better, though.
Yes, I do too. And I think that's why I focus on women You know, yeah. I'm such a champion for women, and I learned this kind of recently, and I hope I don't say it too often, but I think it's worth repeating. I'm really fascinated by equine therapy. Have you ever heard about like the equine experience?
I'm a horsewoman, so yes, I've always
I remember. Yes, okay. And the mare, she looks out for the whole herd. Right. The stallion doesn't. Like, we still need him, you know, still need that. But it's the mare who's actually the leader.
Right.
Mare. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more that women make money, the more that women have leadership roles, the more that women are empowered, that have sovereignty over themselves, like that is what is going to change the world. Like, they're going to be the ones that are making the right kind of a ripple.
Yes.
Do you know? And so that's where I feel like if there's a chain, that's like my link in the chain. I think we all kind of play a role in this world, and like we have a link in the chain somewhere. And some people are on the front lines, you know, in the arena. Some people are, you know, way at the other end of the spectrum. My link, I really feel like it's like helping people, empowering women to be the strong voice that they always were meant to be. And that I feel like that is like the one ripple that I can make that'll make a difference. So that's how I'm doing, you know, but I'm certainly not a spiritual pansy where it's like, oh, well, I'll just take the high road and kind of bypass any negative feelings for somebody's transgression against me or something like that. Do you know? Yeah. So definitely not promoting that, you know, as far as like activism goes though, I know people are so afraid to put their toe in the water of politics, but we've reached the time where that needs to happen. That's like one of the final systems that needs dismantling.
Yes. Agreed. And I know that there's currently a lot of concern for people's, there's been many threats as some people are trying to take down democracy. What kind of world do we want to live in? We really have to ask those questions, right?
Well, yeah. And I'm going for one that's got peace. I'm going for one that's got peace. And I'm getting, my physical body will leave this world at some point. And so it's not just all about my lifetime.
Right.
There's going to be generations that follow mine.
That's right.
God willing. And so what do we want?
Yes. Agreed. What do we want? We've been going to rallies in California, and what's been so helpful about going to the rallies is that you see you're not alone in your little bubble. There are a lot of people that really care.
Mm-hmm.
They like having a voice. Or I know I see grandmothers out there walking who've walked. And I'd go to picket lines with my mother when she was working for equal pay. How hard is it for us to really say that we deserve equal pay for equal work? It's insane that we're having these conversations.
It is.
Or that we don't have sovereignty over our own bodies, that we can't make these decisions, or that we don't deserve opportunities for education, that all people deserve equal opportunities. I mean, we are all living under one sky, you know, and we've all come from creation or creator or all that is, or God, goddess, whatever you want to call this. We're all sacred beings here. God didn't divide us up and say, you, but not you. That's a manipulation and a mistranslation of sacred texts everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If we can stand up for peace for all, we're all better off. The statistics show that too.
I'm glad you feel this way.
Yeah.
You are supporting my mission, Jane.
No, when there's women in any meeting that they seem to do 30 or any business, 30% better. Statistics prove that having women be part of the conversation makes a business 30% more successful, financially successful, and successful in terms of appeal. It's not a hard conversation.
No, it's really not.
We need balance. We can't all be just one thing. And anything less than that is just a strange kind of manipulation of their hearts too, because even men, really, if they're in balance with themselves, then they would want that.
Right. So. And I've had enough experiences around that balanced man, you know, to know that It's not even just a unicorn anymore. People would describe that kind of a person as like a unicorn. Well, no, they're growing. That number's growing. Not so rare.
Common. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to beat their chest about it. That's the difference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. No, we're at a beautiful inflection point, I think, in history.
And we truly hope that more people are feeling less fear and more empowered to really stand up for what is best for everybody.
Yes.
For themselves. So I believe in that world. Do I have to stay in the middle of the fray? I don't. Sometimes I can be on the fringe and just kind of hold the space from there and say, keep going. You can do this, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You're still on the chain, just a different link, right?
Yes. And yeah. I know it's not for everybody. And I know that some people are afraid, but I don't want people to be afraid as I want them to be empowered by what is right and true in their hearts. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we bear love best? I don't have to go into details of how you delivered, but anyone who's delivered a child remembers that time when you go into transition, when the world is spinning, and I thought my head would come off, and all of this mind power in my as I'm getting ready to push my babies out. Like truly, it's incredible, and I think we're at transition right now.
Well, and I think that's why we don't have to talk about my details. I'll spare the world of that, but that the discomfort that goes with that, like incredible pain. And so what I am experiencing, just in talking to all kinds of different people is on a collective level, we're all feeling this discomfort, and some of it's painful and things are really changing, but something really miraculous is going to come out of it on the other side. And I truly believe that. And so we're just like in the thick of it right now.
Got to keep, eyes on the horizon, eyes on the prize. You know, what is it truly, truly want? And what are we willing to make even small steps for every single day?
Yeah. You can't stop the process of delivering the baby. You got, unfortunately, that's one you can't, once you start, you can't stop. Yeah. And so here we are.
Delivering that baby. It's true.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Jane.
Yeah. So that's what's happened. And oh, I see it. Yes. So I know that when some people are feeling depressed right now, and you know that depression is just anger turned inward.
Mm-hmm.
Never constructive place to go. And so I have been working on a project with my daughters.
Yeah. Will you tell me about it?
Yes. It's almost as if this is just such a welling up of love right now for all that we can do and all that we can bring forward. And so here we are birthing something now with my daughters. About 6 months ago, I heard in my head, remember the noon miracle.
Okay.
And the noon miracle, I love the noon miracle. The noon miracle was this great thing that happened at UCLA when I was a co-ed many years ago, where suddenly there would be these pop-ups of creativity. There would be a play over here, or some music over here, or poetry over here at noon, randomly all over the campus.
That's so cool.
And then I heard about 6 months ago, this is the time. Now it's time for the noon miracle.
Hmm.
Because what's going on in our world right now, and you see this with artists, we're at a new inflection point with the industry also about what we can do and how we can work, and we're controlled by all these, the Silicon Valley tech companies are in charge of our studios. These aren't creative types. They didn't come here to, make a show. They've come here to make money. And it's great that they want to offer their money, but their money at the expense of making more money rather than the creative output.
Mm-hmm.
How important art is. And so my daughters and I are putting together a creative platform so that artists across all mediums can bring forward their art. Because when we're going through all the stuff and we're seeing the world and we're like, oh my gosh, how is that going to work? Wait, how can this situation happen? How can they suppress people? How can we be deporting people? All these kinds of things. It really has an impact on an artist, because an artist, their job is to tell stories, to story. We heal through storytelling. We heal by coming to the bonfire of telling our best stories, hopefully to learn. I mean, it's always been like that from the beginning of time. We've told these stories. And so I'm going to create with, and I am creating with my daughters, a brand new platform where we ask artists to bring their art forward and to share. You know, we've got TikTok and it's all over the place, but you have to do a makeup tutorial, or you have to look at how you clean that board out of your car, or, you know, someone jumping off of a roof into a little tiny kiddie pool. I mean, it's like, that's a lot. But this will be curated art for people who are really wanting to put something forward so that we can talk and join in community, and not just for the artists, for people who want to come and explore what that's like to be in the storytelling world with all the ways that the mediums can come together. So that's what we're working on.
That's really beautiful. That's it actually sounds like a nice full circle. It's like you bringing all of your talents, you know, and then, but then that, like, this gift to your daughters, because they're not actresses by trade, are they?
One is, my youngest One is an actress. Yeah,
she is. She is. Yeah. Okay. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's
so all three of my kids are in the arts and
the arts. That's what I thought. Like, they're all very artistic in their own way.
Two of them are writers. A third is writing a script also, you know, because that's how we've done it in our family. You know,
yeah.
A writer and a producer. And
so
it's not just the family that's doing it, but we're talking to the people that were originally part of the Noon Miracles back at UCLA 40 years ago. We're talking about
their
payment forward. And so we're bringing back some of the old artists. We want to have new artists that we've never heard of before on this platform so that we could all come together and maybe we can change the world again through our art.
I love that. And so it's called the Noon Miracles?
Noon Miracle Singular. So it was when someone puts on a Noon Miracle, it's like, let's go.
Okay. Yeah. And you're going to call it that again.
Yes, it's Noon Miracle. It'll be noonmiracle.com.
And it'll be released here in the next, yes.
Very soon. Very soon. Yes. By the time you put this on, it may already be released. Yeah.
Yes. That is such a contribution to this world. Thank you for creating space for something so necessary.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me talk about it. It's, you know, it's a different way of healing, and we do heal through the arts. So I know I do. I know for me right now, as I'm doom scrolling and suddenly the National Theater will come on and I'll just be like, oh, thank God. And I'll just, my body will be reset.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we do. It moves us to feel something different. It changes the channel. And that's what I'm always saying when I'm dancing too. Sometimes we need to change the channel. Sometimes you like to, like, just give the possibility of something, a rom-com. What does that do for your heart? If you consider, you know, some romance, some comedy, some levity, what does that do for your vibration and your frequency? How does that change the world? And so we all can.
Quite a bit. You know, and I think of, like, the chakra system just because I have this, you know, yoga background. But when we're in this root chakra, looking through the world at that lens, you know, it's all about survival.
Yes.
And then competition and things that go along with whatever threatens your survival. But once you get that, some mastery or some comfort with that chakra, if you will, we get to move on to, like, creation and expression and exploration and it sounds like you're inviting the world, hey, you get to leave that root chakra density. Come on up here. It's real nice up here. We express ourselves and we create art, and it's all for the greater good. And how beautiful is that?
Yeah. You can take that dragon tail and you can tap it into the center of the earth and you can still be beautiful. But then all of this yumminess is going on, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All of this starts flowing in, right? Because you get inspiration. Like when you're watching a play, you're world building together. Or when you're watching a show or reading a book in particular, reading those words, you are world building. It's one of the best things we can do for our kids, is teaching them how to read and to enjoy reading, because they world build out here. No one's telling them this is the two-dimensional screen they have to look at. But world building. So this is what the storytelling is so important to encourage that. So beyond the platform itself, we hope to be creating workshops all over and how we can bring new miracles to every place on the planet.
Oh yeah. The potential, all the directions this could go are it's infinite, right? It is. It is.
You know, even if it's just a little tiny bit, that's great. But if it goes everywhere, it goes global.
It's exponential. Yes.
Exponential. We all want everyone to feel better, feel more peaceful, and in community too. That's part of it, is how do we build community, especially now? Now, I'm not into this separating, like, you over there. That poor kid in the corner that was kicking everybody that I was worried about before. Come on over. You know, I'll give you a mask that you can put on, and you can pretend to be like the most sweet person ever. You know, so
there's space for you here.
Space. There's space for everybody here. We just need to remind people who they really are inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be loved and to feel love and to be able to share love. Yep.
I fully believe that. Yeah. I think it's the most important thing.
Yes. And that's why we're here.
Paul. And that's why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Oh, Jean, thank you so much for being my guest today and just sharing so much about yourself. You're just a love personified.
I feel the same about you, and I am so grateful. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.